Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
Shadows and types of the Bible. A shadow is a replica of something that is to be seen. That if you saw a shadow on the wall, that's not the thing, but there is something behind that shadow. When you and I study the Old Testament, there is something behind those things in the Old Testament. And there are two passages of Scripture in the New Testament, one of which I'm sure you're very familiar with, maybe the other one. But one of them is this, Romans 15, verse 4, "Whatsoever things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." The other passage of Scripture is John chapter number 5 and verse number 39. Now listen to what Jesus said. As we're studying Revelation, as you and I are studying the New Testament, in John chapter 5 and verse 39, here's what Jesus said. He said, "Search the Scriptures." Now what is he talking about? He's talking about the Old Testament. He said, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." What is that? That is a shadow of something that's to come. We looked at a shadow is not the real thing. It is a shadow of what is behind that. The Old Testament is a shadow of Jesus Christ and His coming to save men from their sins. What is a type and an anti-type? What is a type? Now I'm going to give you some illustrations of this tonight. A type is, again, a shadow of something that is to take place. An anti-type must be greater than the type. In other words, and I'm going to illustrate. You're not going to have to wonder, well, what are you talking about? Because when you see the type and then you see the anti-type, then what you're seeing is you're seeing the replica of it and then you're seeing the real thing. That's the way I want you to look at it. And I think as you and I look at the Bible, for an example, in the book of Galatians chapter number 3, you'll find the Bible says that the Old Testament law was a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. First of all, let me start with Moses. Moses is a type of Christ. Now, basically what we're saying is, you see the likeness of Christ in the likeness of Moses. Now, look at a couple of things. For an example, one of the things about Moses, and that is, if you'll remember, was it not Pharaoh who was crying to kill the boys so that they would not be able to advance, or the children of Israel would not expand? What do we find in Christ? Was that not the same thing with Herod? Did Herod not try to kill the boys because he was fearful of what was going to take place if the Christ came? And of course he did. Now see, Moses then is a type of Christ in that respect. There's several other things. For an example, Moses is a type of Christ in the relationship that Moses had with God. When you go back to the Old Testament, it's kind of interesting as you see what happens through the patriarchal and the Mosaical age. Because in the patriarchal age, what you'll find that God talks to Abraham. Now here again, Abraham was a type. For an example, the Bible says, God said to Abraham, "In thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed." Almost all of these are. You see, Abraham, he said to Abraham, "In thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed." What do we see in Christ? That in Christ all nations of the earth shall be blessed. Men are going to be saved as a result of Christ. So when you and I go back to the Old Testament, we see Abraham now. But if you'll go back to the patriarchal age, and if you will follow that through the book of Genesis, and you see God as He speaks to Abraham, you see God as He speaks to Noah, you see God as He speaks to Jacob, you see God as He speaks to these men. Now, watch this, because here's something that we don't often think about. And that is that when we get into the Mosaical age, God does not speak to men, but He speaks to Moses. God is communicating with His people through Moses. He takes Moses up on top of the mountain. As a matter of fact, but do you and I know the name of God? Did you realize, do I realize that it was Moses that God revealed who He was? He said, "When I go down to Pharaoh, who am I to tell him has sent me?" What did God say? I am hath sent thee. And so when you and I see the relationship, when God called Moses upon the mountain, you remember God wanted to see him, and God said to Moses, I will pass by and I will let you observe my back. Now again, that is an example of the relationship that existed between Moses and God. Now, watch this. The relationship that existed between God and Christ. All the way through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, over and over again, we find that Jesus is talking about the relationship that exists between He and God. Read John 17 when you have time. Look at the prayer of Jesus, because it is in the prayer of Jesus that He is talking about that relationship. For an example, we're most familiar with John 17, 20, 21. I pray that they all might be one as Thou, Father, art in me and I in Thee, that they all may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou sent me. Or John chapter number 1, in the beginning was the Word, listen to this, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with Him. All things were created by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Go back to Genesis, and the Bible says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. So God had a special relationship with Christ, who was His Son, just as God had a special relationship with Moses in the Old Testament. Here's a third thing, and that is, how did the law come? It came through Moses. God gave the law through Moses. Well, what do we find in Christ? God has given the law through Christ. God, who in sundry times, in diverse manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us through His Son. And so when you look at a type, Moses is the type. Moses, how about his birth? You see Moses in the fact that the relationship that existed between he and God, and you see Moses in the relationship when it comes to the law, that he was the giver of the law. Now you see Christ in all three of these things. All right, Christ is the antitype of Moses, who is the type. Now, all you got to do is go through the Old Testament and you will find these over and over again. Noah was the type of Christ, who was the antitype. Let me just give you a couple of things. Number one, Noah's name meant comfort and rest. Well, the name of Christ means deliverer. For an example, Matthew chapter number 1, or Savior. And that is that He will save His people from their sins. Notice a second thing. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Well, was that not what Jesus preached? That Jesus too was a preacher of righteousness? When you and I look at Noah, we see also that Noah, there was one way in which men could be saved. And that was in the ark. Christ established His church, Acts chapter 2. He said, I'll build my church, and it is through Christ and through His... You cannot be saved outside of the church. I don't care how hard you try. I don't care how much you pray. I don't care how much you believe in the grace of God. These folks in the day of Noah couldn't be saved outside the ark. Not a single one of them were saved. Only ones saved were those in the ark. What do we have? The church. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so when you and I look at that, then we see very easily how that Noah was a type of Christ. And so we look at, again, the comparison. Let me give you a third one. A third one, how that Job is a great illustration or a type of Jesus Christ. For an example, let me just... Here is the type and the anti-type. Job was rich. Think about his riches. Think about his 7 sons and 3 daughters. Think about all of the camels and the she-asses and all of the land that he had. Now you think about Jesus Christ. Was he rich? Yes. Look where he was. He was with the Father. The Bible says, though he were rich... And so when you and I look at Christ, we see Job and he was rich. We see Christ and he was rich. Let me give you a second illustration of this. And that is the fact that just as Job was tempted by the devil, Job was tempted by the devil. Christ was tempted by the devil. When you look at this, Matthew chapter number 4, our Lord went into the wilderness, was tempted by the devil. When you and I look at, what did the devil do? Went before God and he said, no wonder this man, Job, serves you. Look at what you have built a hedge around him. And God said, okay, I'm going to take that hedge down. And yet, when you and I look at this, what do we see again? We see that the devil tempted Christ just as Job was tempted by the devil. The Bible said, you remember what his wife said? Why don't you just curse God and die? Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He did not succumb or fall to that temptation. One of the interesting things, and that is in the comparison or the type and antitype of Job, was the friends. You know what Job said about them? When Job was at his worst, when he's scraping his body of these scales from these sores and boils, Bildad, Eliphaz, and Zophar had to sit at such great distance from him. When he sat there in that pile of ashes, scraping himself with pottery, when he needed comfort, and you know what Job said about these friends? He said, you are miserable comforters. When our Lord Jesus Christ was going through the excruciating pain of the crown of thorns on his head and the thrashing that he received and the spittle on his face and the slaps and the smack, where were the apostles? They had left him and fled. They were miserable comforters. Here's another interesting thing. Job questioned God. Question God. You know, folks, sometimes they think, well, is it right? Can we question God? Job did. Why? God said, Job, you don't know what you're asking. You don't know what you're doing. Not only did Job question God, but did not Jesus Christ question God? Watch this. He prayed to God, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. While he hung on that cross, did he not cry out to God, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Is that not what Job did? Go down to Job 32 and follow him. Look at another comparison. Type of Job, antitype Christ. That is that Job ask God to forgive his miserable friends. Forgive these fellows. He held no animosity to these friends who he described as miserable comforters. What did Jesus do on the cross? My God, he said, why hast thou forsaken me? And then he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now watch this again. Job was restored to his former glory. What happened? Christ ascended into heaven to sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. So when you and I look at these Old Testament characters, and we could talk about Adam. We could talk about this Old Testament law more. We could talk about the ark. I haven't even mentioned Melchizedek over in Genesis and then over in Hebrews chapter 7. But you've got a type of the high priest in that. What I wanted to do is maybe whet your appetite just a little bit to do your own study of a type and an antitype. But let me do one more. That's found in the book of Exodus, chapter number 12. In Exodus chapter number 12, you remember that God said to Moses, here's what I want you to do. I want you to find a lamb, a spotless lamb. I want you to take that spotless lamb, and I want you to slit its throat and take the blood. Now, four things. You can remember this real easy. A spotless lamb, a sacrificial lamb, a saved or a saving lamb and a shared lamb. That lamb was spotless. You take that lamb without spot or blemish. You put it up for a certain number of days. You take that lamb and you slit its throat and take its blood. It was a sacrifice. That lamb was a sacrifice. You take the blood and put it over the doorpost. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Then number four, if there are not enough of your family to eat that lamb, then you share that lamb with others in your family. Now all this, you can read it next to the 12th chapter. You share that lamb with all the others. Now then, in John chapter number 1, verse number 29, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." What was Jesus? Spotless. In the book of 1 Peter, in Hebrews chapter 4, we find in all these passages that the Bible says that He was without sin. The Bible says neither was guile found in His mouth. He knew no sin, the Bible tells us. Here is Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God. Secondly, here is Jesus Christ, the sacrificial Lamb. What happened? Well, they crucified Him. They took and put that spear in His side, and they beat Him, and they crucified Him, and He died. He was a sacrifice. Number three, in His sacrifice, we can be saved from our sins. It is in His blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And then what do? We share the message of the gospel with other people. We take that spotless lamb, that sacrificial lamb, that saving lamb, and we share that with other individuals. And so when you and I look at these topics out of the Old Testament, whatsoever things written aforetime, written for our learning, or search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. We're studying Revelation on Sunday morning. Well, what did they know? How did they find out? It was the Old Testament Scriptures that they were able to answer some of the things you ever found in the book of Revelation. And so when you look at a shadow, or you look at a type or an antitype, then what you see is the type in Noah, in Moses, in the ark. You see it in Melchizedek. You see it in Abraham. You see it in Adam. Leprosy. I am of the opinion, it's my opinion, that leprosy is a type of sin because of its devastating effect, because of it's contagious, for an example. The Bible says, don't you know that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? The Bible says to be not deceived, that sin, that our lives, evil communications corrupt good morals. Types, antitypes, and shadows. So the next time that you're studying something in the New Testament that has a reference to the Old Testament, don't just pass by. Take a look at it.